I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Today's episode of Two in the Think Tank was brought to you by Harry's.
Shavers?
Shavers.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. But not just shavers.
Yeah.
Things that go with shavers.
And shaving experiences.
That's right. Really, more than anything, they're selling an experience. Mm-hmm. But more than that, they're selling shavers.
Mm. And they're turning you into a person who is shaving.
Mm. And later on, a person who has shaved.
That's right.
Yeah. It's really, you know, it's life-changing. You're becoming a different human being.
You're going to look different. You're mm-hmm. going to smell different.
If we did an ad,
yeah,
and we just came into it like, hey, we're telling you to cut off bits of your body, you'd think we were crazy.
Yeah, but
once you hear the full story, it's Harry's razors.
It's $13 worth
of free shaving gear by going to harrys.com/thinktank. Mm-hmm. You'll be saying, hey, doc, get me on the operating table.
Let me cut things off of my body.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you all about how to do that later on in the show. When we give you all the details. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
And I am Alistair George William Tremblay Burchell. And this episode is brought to us not only by Harry's, but also by Mr. Jonathan Dooley.
One of you.
Patreon supporter who has given us the three words at the end of today.
He'll be doing that sketch at the end of today.
That's right. Andy, do you think trees can die of old age?
Why do you keep asking me this, Alistair? No, look, I think... Mm-hmm. No, I don't think trees can die of old age.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't think anything can die of old age because I think everything ultimately is killed by something else. You know,
really?
You know, be it, I think if you look at the death certificate of somebody who you would presume has died of old age, you'll look at it and instead of say, it doesn't say cause of death, old age,
it's
it
says killed cause by
of stabbing.
Stabbing.
It's always stabbing that gets you in the end.
So what you're saying is that death is never your fault.
Exactly.
It's not you just loitered for too long.
No, you didn't outstay your welcome. Your body didn't give up any fight.
It's just something actually killed you.
So yeah.
Every death is a murder.
That is what I am saying.
Yes. Yes. That's what I want.
It's the world's longest serial killer spree.
Right.
Overwhelming misfortune.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so, but like I guess if, let's say if pneumonia kills you.
Yeah, pneumonia.
Or if
they should really call it old mania.
That's true.
Mm. No.
Here's another thing that can kill you, right?
Yes.
Let's say you're 95 years old, right?
Yes.
You're out in the ocean.
Tell me something else that can kill you because I can't imagine anything.
Yeah.
You're 95 years old, you're out in the ocean. You sound like you're going to be living a long and fruitful life.
This is not going to end the way you think it's going to. Right?
Is it going to end with death?
God damn it. I'll try and find a way of changing it. You get into a bit of trouble. Get stuck in a
How?
Rip. You get stuck in a rip. You're 95. Stuck in a rip.
But you would have thought 95, you know so much.
Yeah.
You're aware of everything that could come at you.
It's a...
I never met a rip I couldn't lick.
Yeah. You got cataracts and you got bad joints. And,
oh, dear.
And you got a bad attitude as well. Right, and so
there's nothing worse than a bad attitude.
Yeah, he's a rebel without a cause, and a bad set of joints,
mm-hmm.
like that. And so he gets stuck in this rip, 95 years old. gets pulled out, starts waving to the lifesavers.
Mm.
Actually breathes in a fair bit of salt water, but he gets saved. Mm. Like that, right? They don't have to resuscitate him, but they get him out of the ocean, right? But the mistake they make, especially because he's 95 years old, they don't send him to the hospital.
Wow.
He goes, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
It's this bad attitude.
Yeah.
It's just coming back, you know. It got him through so much.
Right.
It's coming back to bite him in the ass. Mm. Later on, he's at home. If, after you almost drown, you don't go to the hospital and get salt water pumped out of your lungs, you can drown in your sleep.
Because you lie down and it just...
However it works.
Hey, you never claimed to know anything about this situation.
All I know is that it can happen. I'm not going to tell... Look, I guess... Look, we could try to guess. I do love to guess how bodies work. Certain amount of fluid. It's, you know, you think your lungs are a big bag that just fills up with air, but it's spongy.
Yeah, and what do you got? You got your bronchioles.
You got some bronchioles. Maybe they're getting clogged up by the salt.
Could be.
What if the salt crystallizes in there?
What if the water evaporates, leaving salt blocking crystals. The...
Maybe the salt, yeah. Well, I mean, if the water evaporates, how could you drown, though?
How about salt?
You got salt cutting. It's crystallized. It's cutting.
Yeah.
And then you got this...
The blood.
Blood that and the water mixing together, acting together
as
a team, like two Power Rangers fighting some big eye, right? And they're... And they beat the eye. And then you drown.
I reckon if blood got together with salt water... Because blood is, like... The human body is quite a lot of water.
Fair bit.
Yeah. But I reckon blood is more water than most other stuff in the body.
Yeah.
Right? So your blood, just because it's in our body, that's all it knows.
Yeah.
Right? It's never met anyone like it.
Yeah.
So it assumes that this is just like what life is like. But then blood comes into contact with salt water.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow. We could be, you know, I've got so much more in common with you. I don't want to hang out in this body anymore. Yeah. How do we get out of here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right. And so they take down the beast.
Yeah.
And they escape together.
Really, the blood is a prisoner.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's right.
They could call it blood cells.
Well, that's why anytime there's an opening in your body, it tries to escape.
Help! Help! And then those clotting mechanisms come and like... Grab it all.
We put a Band-Aid over it, a bandage. We try and apply pressure. We're pressuring the blood to stay in our bodies.
Mm. The blood wants out.
The blood is trying to escape.
And who are we to, you know, to stop it? I think some sort of a blood freedom movement. What are you writing down, Alistair?
Blood is a prisoner of the body.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. Because I don't think there's much else in your body that would try and escape. Urine, but I think that's more being ejected than it is escaping.
Yeah, no, I think we've decided that we don't want it.
Mm.
Air, I think that's the thing, is that the blood probably comes in contact with air, and it gets its oxygen from the air.
Well, air is very much like a tourist coming in and out of the People's Republic of body, and bringing its outside ideas. Mm-hmm. Sometimes toxins, dangerous toxins.
Yep.
But sometimes just the toxin of freedom.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
Or hope.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Blood is the caged bird, whereas air is the majestic finch that flies up to the window and taunts the the bird in the cage. The caged.
Yeah. Yeah, and then dies early from predation.
The finch or the.
The finch.
Okay, because I mean, I guess the blood could also die of predation. Say a rat got into the cage, squeezed in.
A rat got into your bloodstream. Oh, imagine. I mean,
if a rat got into your bloodstream and it ate all your blood.
Yeah, or just scratched everything up inside your tubes.
Because I mean, that is a risk. If let's say, I mean, there are.
You leave a wound open.
Let's say creatures. Started, this is like a disaster scenario.
Yes.
The creatures started swapping survival mechanisms.
Right. At the moment, bacteria can share DNA.
Bacteria can share DNA. And a tick will attach itself to your body and just suck your blood until it's done.
Yeah.
But then what if in some kind of Freaky Friday
scenario,
rats and ticks swapped survival scenarios, and ticks started living sort of in alleyways and things like that, but rats started attaching to you without you realizing, injecting a little bit of poison so you don't feel it so much, and then just gorging on your blood until they're swollen and like 10 times their own
and
size.
And you got to pick them off and they're all bulbous.
Yeah, but
you don't notice them there because you can't feel it.
That's right. Yeah. But you just got a back. Like if you just went walking through some tea trees.
Yeah, you go hiking.
You got just this back covered in just 12 swollen rats. And you get home and your wife is like, honey, what's that? You go, do you just go get do some cupping?
Or salt. You shake a bit of salt on them.
That's right.
So they also swap vulnerabilities with ticks?
Well, not with ticks, but with leeches.
Right.
It was a really complicated Freaky Friday scenario. It was a Freaky Wednesday.
It was a three-way switcheroo. I'm interested. I think the tick thing is very interesting, but I am also interested in a rat like actually inside your bloodstream, right? Like crawling through your veins and stuff.
I'm interested by that.
Trashing all of that, like because they live in sewers. And what is the vein if not a sewer?
That's true. They are the sewers of the body. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's the intestines are very much a sewer as well.
Yeah.
But they're kind of like you know how there's the big intestine and the small intestine? Mm. Well, the big intestine is actually the huge sewer.
Yeah.
And the small intestine is the big sewer. And the veins are the small sewer.
Right. Yeah. Wherein a rat might thrive.
That's right.
I was told we had a pest control guy come to our house the other day to test for termites. Don't have any, by the way.
No, that's nice.
That was a weight off.
Yeah.
And he said that a mouse can get through a gap of 5 mil. Now, there have got to be some veins or arteries in the human body that are at least 5 mil. I'm thinking around the heart or sort of going up the neck or something.
You could get a mouse stuck in your heart.
Yeah, and I reckon all you got to do is you get some kind of a wound, right, down to an artery, but you don't think much of it.
Yeah.
Right? So you go to sleep, you know, in your house, leaving it open.
Let's say you've just been fucking with CTU, you know the counter-terrorist unit from 24?
Yeah.
Right? Jack Bauer was holding, you were in some kind of hostage scenario. Jack Bauer was holding a knife to that vein under your armpit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Right, which is a main one. It's one of the main veins.
Yeah.
And
not the main vein?
It's not the main vein, but it's definitely one. And he goes through with it. He cuts it, right? It opens up. You do start bleeding pretty bad. You're on the ground.
Yeah.
They run off. They go deal with more of that kind of shit. Anyway, somehow, miraculously, you just stop bleeding at some point.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, my God. And you get yourself to a hospital.
Mm.
Right?
But it's not a very clean hospital.
Well, no. Oh. The reason it stopped bleeding
is
while you weren't paying attention, you were just going, I'm going to die.
You're distracted.
And you're so feeling
thinking
sorry
about how
for
your
yourself.
Terrorist scheme failed and beating up on yourself, getting all morose. I can't do anything right.
I can't believe Jack Bauer beat me. Yeah. You're distracted. Your mind isn't on the prize at the moment.
You take your eyes off the prize and also off the gaping wound under your arm.
Anyway, once you get to the hospital, because you go to the hospital, or you go to your mob doctor or whatever you go see, he sews it up. Like it's probably a mob doctor, even
he's
though
like,
you're a terrorist.
I think
terrorists go to mob doctors as well. They're just their instinct. You know, a mob doctor, their instinct is to sew.
Yeah, I think they service wrongdoers of all stripes. They don't discriminate.
That's right, yeah. You know, petty criminals all the way up to mob bosses.
Yeah,
and
all the way up to the highest forms of white-collar crime.
Yeah, exactly. Just, I mean, even the president of the United States, if you got to get what I mean. Anyway. Which there is a chance he's going to go down. Anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. But that wasn't what the point was initially.
People
wasn't
were very suspicious when he started to employ a mob doctor. Oh, he was getting all his medicine done by a disgraced vet in a shipping container down by the docks.
That's
the only really suspicious part of it. Are we still going on this?
Anyway, so then the mob doctor sews it up.
Yeah.
And a couple of days later, you find out you just get this tickle in your heart.
Yeah. I got a tickle in my heart.
You go back to the mob doctor. He's like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you did lose a lot of blood. It could just be like, I don't know, maybe the blood, like, you just got bubbles in your blood or something.
Yeah.
He goes, just sleep on it for a couple of days. You don't want to do an x-ray? You go, we don't have that kind of stuff here. So then, anyway, later you find out you got a rat.
And I can do a mouse. You a P-ray?
You can do a P-ray. Is that a different thing? Is that even your peas on you?
No. It just didn't get all the way up to X. I don't know. It wasn't much of an offer.
It's okay. Is there any other rays that you can use to see through people?
Gamma rays you can use.
Yeah.
I presume. Yeah. Although they probably pass through most stuff. You can use gamma rays in other sorts of things.
You know how, like, you got neutrinos that go through stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I guess the problem with them is that they're too hard to detect, right?
Yeah. And because they go through stuff too easy.
I know, but I thought that's great, because then you're not doing any damage. That's the problem with X-rays.
Yeah, you get them, they cause cancer. You still need them to, like, get some of them to get blocked by the bones or whatever, so you still got a picture on the other side to, like, you know, to detect and to
get. Yeah, but what if you just pass, like, a lot?
Just so many neutrinos. Yeah,
just like a full
supernova's worth.
Yeah, like a full A4 sheet of just neutrinos heading straight at your heart, and then I reckon you'd get a good picture out of that.
I don't think you would, Al.
No?
Nah.
Okay. No, I don't know how you know so much about radiology or whatever.
I was reading about neutrinos at work today.
Yeah, I know, but did they mention their applications in medicine?
No, because they don't have any, Alistair.
Yeah, at present, because nobody's shooting an A4 sheet worth of neutrinos.
What's an A4 sheet worth of neutrinos? That's not a unit.
I'm saying you get an A4 sheet, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's worth, like, not in terms of, like, like, as in...
What does that mean?
Like, as in you get, like, there's not a gap between it. It's just, like...
Solid neutrinos.
Solid neutrinos.
There's just, no gap.
Just a wall of neutrinos just go through you like that. No gaps. It just goes right through you because it doesn't interact with most life. But we put a material on the other side that it really does interact with.
Oh, we found one. We found one, everyone.
Yeah, but on the other side so that we can create an image.
Yeah.
Right? And then I think that the body will affect them in some way. That'll give us a picture.
If you have enough.
Yeah.
It must.
If you have an A4 sheet's worth, unless you think A3 is what we should be going with.
Anyway, you've got a rat and a mouse in you.
Mouse in the heart. But, like, how would this guy's life change? I guess he would die.
Well,
but before
I mean,
that,
one thing that it would do is I reckon it would widen out a lot of your arteries and your veins and that sort of thing, you know. It would probably also start building a nest somewhere.
Yeah.
So, like, dragging together a lot of loose stuff. Like, if it finds
any clots and stuff like that. Get them out of the way.
We might find out, because at the moment we're trying to put have we already talked about this on the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Build these tiny robots.
Yeah.
And send them into your bloodstream to, like, fix diseases and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also, totally separately, training rats to go down mazes and, like, pick up things.
That's right, and, like, save people who've been under collapsed buildings.
Yeah, and doctors have always got mice in their labs
just
they're
laying
testing
around
on and stuff. And no one has at any point thought, like, let's cut out this middleman tiny robot and just chuck a mouse up the...
Get a mouse up you.
Up you.
Yeah.
Up your circulatory system.
When they poop in your blood, you're going to become immune to mouse poop.
Yeah.
So you don't have to clean your house anymore. You know? Because that's the problem. You clean your house so that you don't get mice.
So, doctor, does this have any side effects? Only good ones. You won't have to clean your house anymore.
Well,
I'm sorry?
Because you clean your house so you don't get mice. And you don't want mice because then you get mice poop and everything.
Yeah, we're not good at keeping straight whether we're talking about rats or mice, are we?
Well, you know, we don't really see that much difference between them.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah, so that's his superpower. He can just eat mice.
Yeah,
mice
and he's
poop.
Got nice roomy veins, like when you extend you widen a highway.
Yeah.
If we put those extra lanes on the CityLink, that's one of our main arterial links in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Right? Well, how about your arteries themselves? When was the last time they got a widening?
Yeah.
You get a mouse in there.
Mm-hmm.
stretch it all out.
I mean, do you see any benefits to having wider...
Oh, more blood to your feet.
That's true.
Probably.
Well, I guess if you could get more blood around... I mean, I guess you could just... There's just more room for more blood.
More blood. Blood's good.
Yeah, blood's good, right? Because, you know, when you get more blood to your brain, I think that when they say you take LSD and things like that, there's more blood in your brain.
And that's good.
That seems good. You know, when you're upside down, your face goes all red, and it kind of like feels like there's a lot of pressure in your head.
That's good.
Because blood, that's more blood.
But also, you wouldn't feel that pressure if your veins were wider.
No, that's right. It would be so you could be upside down all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the blood, the blood's... it's a real treat for your blood cells going through that spacious thing.
Mm. Perfect. I guess it's luxurious for your blood as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so that is nice.
Blood luxury.
And then maybe your blood won't want to escape.
Maybe. It won't feel so confined.
Well, if you're...
I think this could be a thing for rich people. Because also, like, we...
Like,
we only have a certain amount of, like, blood in our bodies. And if we get injured, all the blood comes out and we're dead, right?
Yeah.
And if you're lucky, they'll put some extra blood in. They'll top you up with a transfusion or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I say preemptive transfusion. Get some extra blood into me now.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and then I got more to lose.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I think. Because it's not like you're going to cut yourself... bigger just because you got bigger.
No. So you lose the blood at the same rate.
Yeah, you'll probably most likely.
Maybe a little higher.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends.
The mouth might get out. That's the only problem.
Yeah, well, you don't want that to happen. But maybe you could. I don't know. Maybe you could. You know what's that chemical that they give to bodies to embalm them?
Formaldehyde.
If you could soak your veins in formaldehyde, give them that rubbery kind of like texture.
Sure,
so they're probably harder to cut then.
Well, I say we just coat the mouse in formaldehyde, and as it crawls around,
oh, that's a good idea.
It'll be its body is basically a brush.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, and it's brushing formaldehyde onto your veins, giving them that rubberiness that you were so excited
about.
So
they're more long lasting.
Yeah, and harder for the mouse to escape.
Because if a body's embalmed, you can dig them up at any point and you can retest their body to see if there's any evidence or whatever.
Yep. And?
I just think that way, you know, if anything bad happens to you during your life...
God forbid. I mean, I can't imagine what could possibly happen to you that would be bad. You're just a big vain mouse man.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I think you'll be happier, genuinely.
That's the bottom line. That's what this is all about. Mm. That's what matters. Now, listen, I want to go back and back and back.
Yeah.
Several iterations. When you talked about the old person in the ocean getting pulled out by the rip, right? I thought one thing that could happen is when they get them out of the water, because they're so wrinkly, they think that they've been in the water for longer than in fact they have, and they keep toweling them off so vigorously.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't make sense. You don't get more wet, do you, the longer you've been in?
But you do get more dry the longer you're getting toweled.
That's true, and that's what I was thinking.
they keep toweling them until they try to get them smooth again.
Yeah. He's been in there so long, more towels! He must be so wet, more towels! Right? And then they towel you and towel you until you dry out. Like, and it's almost the opposite of drowning.
Mm.
You become too dry. And you not start, enough water in
you. You start drowning.
Yeah. Landing?
Landing, airning.
Mm.
I mean, drowning. It's just got a good sound.
Oh, sure does, doesn't it? Sounds like a real word. And I had one other idea.
Yeah.
Which is that you talked about the rip dragging you out.
Mm-hmm.
But from the point of view of a dolphin, the rip is the lifesavers, isn't it?
Because it gets you back out there.
Yeah, it gets you back out there.
Because, if you're a whale about getting beached.
Mm. You get stuck in a rip. Probably the advice for whales and, you know, coelacanths of all kinds.
That's right.
Is if you're at a beach, make sure you get into a rip.
See the flags? Stay away from being between those two flags. Get somewhere where the surf is a little bit rougher.
Uh-huh.
And there's a gap in the surf where the water is pulling you out to sea.
Mm.
Don't struggle against the waves.
Yeah, do struggle against the waves. Don't swim diagonally across them. Is that what you're supposed to do?
I know, but I think if the waves are trying to push you into the shore.
Yeah.
So you want to get to that part in between the waves where the rip is dragging you out.
Yes. Yeah, okay, sure. I was thinking because the rip, you're not supposed to try and swim against the
rip.
No,
you're right. And look,
swim across.
In an analogy way, you are absolutely right to say that. Just in an accuracy way.
I was wrong.
You were incorrect.
Yeah, sure. And also the dolphin, really, there's no reason that they would be swimming in, even though that's going to wind up with them becoming tired and winding up being dragged out to sea because they can't fight against it. It still makes sense for them to be swimming out.
Yeah, like out to...
The ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, but unless they want to catch some waves.
Hey, man.
You know,
they still want to have a good time.
They probably want to spy on some... Babes. Like everybody. I guess.
Do you think that's why they're beaching themselves? Do you think they're perverts?
Whales.
Yeah.
They never go to those. They never beach themselves on very crowded beaches. And the least crowded beaches are often nudist beaches.
Mm.
I mean, they are nudists. I don't know what I'm saying.
They are. You're right. Naked whales on the beach. Is there anything in that? Anything on dolphins and aquatic mammals having bizarro water safety rules? It's not much, is it?
No, but I think that one whale telling another whale to make sure that if you're still swimming at the beach, to make sure get stuck in a rip, I think that would make a great New Yorker cartoon.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah, wow. So, where does that fall in the ranking of forms of comedy? Is it an admission of failure to get a cartoon in the New Yorker?
I don't think so. I think people really want it.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you have to be able to draw.
Right. That is a problem.
I think they don't just have like a writer. I think you got to be the writer drawer. And so, I mean, like you might be able to work with an illustrator, but... I don't think the New Yorker provides you images, you know, or illustrators, and so, in that regard, you need somebody or yourself to be able to draw.
There's going to be some drawing involved.
Yeah.
At your end.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about my cough, by the way.
What's happened?
It's just I've been sick.
Really?
You know? Yeah. I've been at a real intense snot phase. You know how I'm going to talk about snot.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a warning for the listeners. Right? Is it like, you know how sometimes when you're trying to blow your nose, it just feels blocked. So nothing's coming out. Mm-hmm. Right? And then...
Yeah, what's it like in there?
I don't know. I want to know.
I want to see it. I want to be able to see it. I want to see what a blocked nose looks like from the inside. Because I know what it feels like.
Sure.
You know, it feels spongy.
And blocked.
It feels like...
Sometimes hot.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know what? You know how I picture it in my head? Sometimes it does feel hot.
Yeah.
But you know how I picture it? I picture it as like a honeycomb, it's kind of like a honeycomb lattice.
Oh, wow. Really?
But with very small honeycomb holes.
Up the nose somewhere. You think there's like a...
Well, because or else, what is there to get mesh. Blocked? Is there no... Like what is a sinus?
I think it's just a tube. Just a hole.
It's just a hole. Well then is it one of the sewers? And then why? Why are the three sewers, the big intestine, the little intestine and then the vessels or whatever, blood vessels.
Mm.
Cuz then sinus needs to be its own
included
sewer.
In that list.
Cuz it's absolutely
Who came up with that list? a fucking idiot.
The nose is very much a sewer opening where, like, you would go in to go confront it. The clown.
The clown, yeah. God, imagine. He's in your own nose.
Feels like more liquid should come out of your nose. Like, for the way that it's pointing down, it feels like it was just built for a large amount of fluid to come out.
No, but it's built for air to go in. Right?
Yeah, but air could come in... If it was pointing upwards, like
Yeah, but then the other stuff would fall in from above.
Yeah, okay, but then it could work if it was the side out.
Out to the side.
Like a dog.
Yeah, right.
So then there's got to be a reason why it's pointing down.
It really feels like it's there to sluice out a lot more quantity of liquid.
They could have just let tears come out of there.
It could very well be, Alistair, another aquatic ape evolutionary thing. You know, the idea that we were aquatic apes.
I didn't know that.
No, this is the idea that part of the human evolutionary thing that explains a bunch of different things about our physiology is that for a time we were like a semi-aquatic species of ape that did a lot of swimming and, you know, that's that stuff.
Is that where freestyle comes from?
That's right. the rap?
No, the swimming stroke.
No, we wouldn't have been doing freestyle. We would have been doing breaststroke. And
how old is freestyle?
I think freestyle's a relatively recent innovation.
No. We would have figured out freestyle's an innovation. We would have figured
no,
out.
No. No, we were all doggy.
It was all paddlers. Doggy paddle.
Doggy paddle and breaststroke.
You think breaststroke?
Yeah.
So we knew breaststroke, but we didn't know freestyle.
Well, you look at a frog, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, there's got
to
be...
You say, I'm going to go swimming. I'll just check the frog to remind myself.
Well, how do we do this? I know, but you'd also look at fish, and so you'd do that wavy legs thing that feels like you're a mermaid.
Sure, and then you're closer to a butterfly stroke. That still hasn't got you freestyle. I'm sorry, Alistair.
I know, but I feel like people would have just figured it out.
Anyway, the point is that the theory is that we were at some point semi-aquatic. That's also why those people who do free diving and go down real deep right, can hold their breath for so long.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have hair all over our bodies like other aquatic things like whales and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it explains some other stuff. I mean, I reckon it could also explain why our nose points down like that, because you're swimming along. It's a fin. It's a keel.
It's something that just stabilizes as we skim across the top of the water.
The head really becomes the rudder then, doesn't it? Like, if our nose was even bigger and pointed down, and then if we swam backwards, but the nose pointed up.
Yeah. Well, no, but if we swim backwards... Maybe there's a thing there where water's supposed to go in your nose and you're supposed to shoot it out your mouth like a squid.
Alistair's demonstrating. it's very compelling. Yeah. I'm going to submit this to some kind of, I don't know, the British Museum of Natural History to see if this shock blows a few minds.
I
can't remember where I was going with that. Oh, that's possibly why nostrils point down. Right, to sluice out water from when you're swimming.
Yeah, well, see, that makes sense. There's got to be a reason. Oh, hey, and I did say it was all about water running out.
Water running down.
Yeah. But don't you think that we could have just had crying tears could have just come out our noses? It's a weird addition having them out there. I guess you got to clean the eyes.
Well, when you cry, though, your nose does get pretty runny. I feel like quite a few tears are coming out your nose. No one ever refers to them as tears.
Those tears, yeah.
And when you see, like, you know, talk about tears running down people's cheeks, or, you know, nobody ever gets one of those little teardrop tattoos, but under their nose. No.
A snot drop.
Yeah.
A snot drop tattoo.
I believe in, like, the Johnny Depp movie Cry Baby.
Yeah.
He was able to, you know, he was really good at shedding a single tear. I don't think that would have worked if his character was good at having a single dribble of snot come out of one of his nostrils.
I think that's a cool jail tattoo, just getting
two snot drops
just underneath. Kind of looks a bit like a Hitler mustache, but people will think you're a bigot, but they'll get up close and they'll go, oh, no.
No, wait. No. He's just crying.
Yeah, he's just crying through his nose. Snot drop.
Why do people get the teardrop tattoo? Does that represent something in particular?
I thought it was a gang thing that maybe meant you killed somebody.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure.
There seems to be a bunch of stuff that means you killed people, right?
I mean...
You do the little cuts on your eyebrows and you roll up one leg of your pants and you get a little teardrop tattoo.
Yeah, you get... I think you're all, like, Russian, Japanese mob, it's all about tattooing your whole body. You know, with crimes and things that you've done. And I think the Russian ones, they really put a lot of meaning into it.
Yeah, which is crazy, because you'd think that, like, one of the places that you don't want to put evidence of your crimes is in your skin.
Yeah.
Like, tattooed to your body.
Oh, but you make it a bit cryptic.
You put it backwards or something?
Yeah, you put it, make it into a crossword that they would have to figure out. And only you get the clues.
Maybe chemical elements.
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't think that's a... Was that in this one?
Did that feature on this podcast?
No, I think it was in the one we abandoned.
We didn't abandon it. We murdered it.
You're right.
Yeah, we dragged it out the back and shot it in the
Everything
head.
Dies as a murder, Andy.
That's true. God, that's deep.
Andy, did you...
Can you write down snot drop tattoo? Can you write that down?
I'm going to write down. But Andy, was there a... is there anything you wanted to talk to me about?
Oh, you know what, Alistair? Well, since you bring it up, there is something that I've been meaning to talk to you. And,
what is it?
I felt it's you weird. Weren't possibly in the mood to hear this. But Harry's.
Yeah.
.com/thinktank
Yeah.
Has a very special offer for our very special listeners.
Well, what could it be?
Look, I need the opportunity to be reborn.
Whoa.
Yeah. To take control of your own destiny and to basically reshape the world by reshaping yourself.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm talking, of course, about getting yourself $13 worth of free shaving gear. I say $13 worth. It feels like more like $62, $63 worth. Yeah. So it's I don't know how they've created that effect.
It's sort of like, you know, the temperature is 15 degrees outside, but it feels like 27.
So it must be something to do with wind chill.
It's because you get that weighted handle.
Yes.
It's because you get that face.
The foaming face gel?
Yeah, the foaming face gel.
Harry's, you've got to get in touch with me. We've got to make an edible version of this. Mm. It smells like it would be the most delicious thing in the world.
I think it would be a great thing that you could just have a tub of it and just dip corn chips in it. Right? I would do that. I mean, and that is a masculine food.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like a corn chip is as close as you get in the food world to a razor.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they're so sharp. You swallow those down. Sometimes they go down like razor blades.
Yeah, especially when you don't chew.
So I say, yeah, absolutely. Let's make a steel gray corn chip. Maybe put some squid ink in it or something like that.
Yes.
Make a 5-blade corn chip.
Grind up some ants.
Grind up. Thank you.
Just make it out of ants.
Ants would hate this.
Yeah.
And you dip in it in your salsa. Shaving. It's a shaving salsa.
Yeah, it's a shaving.
It's got that minty freshness. It's got that flavor of the ants, formic acid kind of flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, all of it comes together. It's what a treat. It's almost as much of a treat as shaving with a five blade razor with that also extra special little trimmer blade on the end for doing the bit under the nose. You've got your travel case. For the blades, so they don't hurt anybody because they wouldn't hurt you.
No,
but they're like those people who have a Rottweiler. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, oh no, he's lovely. No, it wouldn't hurt anybody. Sure, he wouldn't hurt you, right? But these blades, they're sharp. They're real serious blades.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Absolutely, these are like Hattori Hanzo blades.
Yeah, yeah.
But on a shaver.
Yes. And you go to harrys.com/thinktank, you get all of that gear for, I'm going to tell you, not something, but nothing. Wow. Not everything, not something, but nothing is what you pay for those products.
So do that today.
Yeah, harrys.com/thinktank. Thank you for supporting the shaving company that
supports you, your face.
Yeah, that's right. So we've got 5 dot points there, Alistair.
There's 5 dot points. I mean...
Look, you think that the snot drop tattoo... Oh, okay. Here's a sketch for you.
Okay, great.
Right? We're in a prison. Somebody's doing the tattoos. So, you know...
Yeah.
And they're talking people through the different tattoos that you get for doing different crimes.
Yeah.
Right? And they're talking about you getting the snot drops. Right? And they're talking about other ones as well.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about getting drops coming out from different orifices on your body.
Eardrops.
To represent different things.
Eardrops, that's when you get an earache.
Yeah, butt drops.
Butt drops.
Right? You got just little butt drops just down your cheek and sort of down the back of your upper thigh.
What about you had drops all down your back?
Drops, sure.
It's just like, you know, you just get you get rain or... it's just like rain.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's what that means. I know that's not a crime. That one's not a crime. But we'll think of a crime for that one.
Yeah, but you know, there is rain that kind of causes public damage.
Mm.
But I don't know if you're responsible for it, unless you were a pilot who seeded clouds in a place that was already...
very wet.
Very wet. You know? Isn't that what they suggested might have happened in Tasmania last year? Like when... last year, a couple of years ago,
floods.
There was floods, and then there was some people that were like, "Oh, they also seeded clouds," but I'm not sure if cloud seeding is like a technology that people are sure works.
I think certain forms of cloud seeding are proven to work. I think the silver nitrate one, where they fly up above and put the little particles in.
It's not about that you're making the clouds. It's that you're helping the cloud precipitate over a particular place that you want.
I think you might actually be making the clouds, because I think there's moisture in the atmosphere, but there's not enough particulate matter up there to create the nucleation sites to actually cause the
precipitation
droplets to get together to make the cloud.
Yeah,
And then that turns into the precipitate.
But isn't it fucked that just up in the air, there's
heaps of water.
21 inches of rain that are just hanging out in just like a sort of a 3 kilometer radius.
Yeah.
You go, how are you doing this?
They haven't got to get together. They don't know about each other.
They don't know.
They're individual freedom fighters.
Yeah, right.
Who are yet to find a greater cause or, someone to inspire.
They're like
them.
The X-Men pre-Professor X.
Thank you. Thank you, Alistair. That's exactly what I was trying to get
to. So Professor Xavier is silver nitrate?
Yeah.
Particles.
Yeah.
And he's the one that made them precipitate justice over the Marvel Universe.
Correct. What are our three words from a...
What was that idea?
the prison guy giving the tattoos, talking you through all the different tattoos.
Yeah.
You don't think that's anything? You can get the different drops from different orifices to mean different things. You don't like that? What if he's got one? You go to him, right? And he's got the two drops. He's got a drop under the eye, and you're like, "Oh, what does that mean?" And he's like, "Oh, that means they killed a man." And then he's like, "Oh, cool, man." And then he's doing your tattoo, and he's like, "How'd you kill that man?" "Oh, hepatitis poisoning."
Wait.
Because he's a tattooist.
Oh, right. And can you get hepatitis through that?
From tattooing, yeah.
Oh, but wait. What if the eyes one is like, "Oh, how'd you get those? I killed a man," he goes. And then, "How'd you get the ones, those snot drops?"
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, I smelt a man."
Yeah.
"Smelt a dead man."
"Smelt a dead man?"
"Smelt a dead man. I smelt a man to death." But then the eyes is not linked to how you killed them, unless you killed them with your eyes.
Could you kill somebody by sucking all the air before it gets to their mouth? Whenever they go to take a breath, you suck it in.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that'd be...
You steal it.
Yeah. Well, great. That's how you kill them. Every time they go to take a
breath. Be a great way to bully somebody at work. You know? Because you don't touch them. But all you do is whenever they're about to take a breath, you go... You put your mouth in front of them. You go... You breathe in the air. And you're like, "You were going to breathe that." "Well, I breathed it first." You don't get to have that. You have breathed something else. That was mine.
I reckon you'd get fired.
Yeah? No. You didn't touch him.
Not touching you. It's not bothering
you. Yeah. Can't prove I did anything. Just taking your oxygen.
Oh, what, were you going to just look for traces of oxygen in my lungs?
Were you going to breathe that, were you? Didn't see your name on it.
Didn't see your name on it. And now here we are at the end, near the episode, where we finally get to celebrate the hero of this episode, which is Jonathan Dooley.
John Dooley.
Our Patreon supporter who...
You know that song, "Hang Down Your Head, John Dooley"?
I have no idea.
"Hang down your head, John Dooley, hang down your head and cry." Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say, not anymore. "Hold up your head, John Dooley.
For you have made this show so good.
We've got three words from this.
He sent in three words.
Ripper listener.
His words, you're not going to be able to guess.
You bet?
Yeah, okay, try and guess.
All right, I've got a question. Is he fucking with us?
A little bit.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay, here's my guess. "Not these words."
No, he's not fucking with us that much. That's fucking with us a lot.
Man, this would be so good.
"Improperly." "Calibrated." "Cloaca."
Oh wow! No, he's not fucking with us at all. He's playing to our strengths.
Yeah, but you see, look, so already an improperly calibrated cloaca could be this sort of anus vagina, anus penis kind of
situation. That you get in your birds
and a lot of your mammals.
Not many of your mammals, isn't it? Just your monotremes.
No, we have the vagina anus or the penis anus thing. That's us. Monotremes.
Wait. Okay. So you're saying
that
if you have a separate anus and a separate vagina, or a separate anus and a separate penis.
Yeah.
You're saying that is just an improperly calibrated cloaca.
Yeah.
Right. Because really what you're trying to do is like trying to train two beams of light at the same point, right? And if you've got it well calibrated, they'll overlap perfectly and create the image that you were trying to create. Yeah. Right? But if for some reason they don't line up and the penis of the anus wind up separated.
Yeah.
That's due to an improper calibration of your cloaca.
I just think that the cloaca is the perfect system.
Is it like a superposition?
I just want to tell you, I've realized that the cloaca, the symbol for the cloaca, is actually like the on symbol for a computer.
Great.
You know, it's mostly a circle, but then that little line?
Yeah.
That's the cloaca.
Do you think that's what that symbol represents?
I think so. Yeah. I think that they're just like, turn on.
Right, you touch me in my cloaca because that's what turns me on.
Because that's the only hole I got.
Yeah, I mean, is that a sketch?
No.
No, but I want to know why that button.
Oh yeah, there's
where that symbol came from, the symbol of that button.
Sure.
Right, and the person who designed it and what it actually means. Maybe he was a pervert, right?
Sure.
Who tried
some kind of cloaca pervert?
Yeah. You know, he loved the efficiency of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's doing so much. And when you touch it, you're doing a lot as well. And you've got to press that little thing to switch on.
Because if you touch it, you're both prodding their anus.
Yes.
You're both fingering their urethra.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then you're doing the third hole thing. Like,
well, you're plugging up their
vagina or... You know, depending on if it's a starfish, you're plugging up everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's for turning something on.
Yeah.
I mean.
So it's just like the shady past of the.
Yeah. The turn. Yeah. On the untold story. You know, if it was the person who, do you think it's the person who invented the computer? What was his name? Began with B. Charles Babbage. Do you reckon it was Charles Babbage?
I reckon it came after Babbage.
Yeah, post Babbage.
It was post Babbage.
Steve Jobs.
I reckon Steve Jobs might have had a finger in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, he was so mean to people. He's probably suppressing something.
Yeah. Yeah. He came in one day and he said, "Make it look like this." And he just did a drawing on the whiteboard and then he walked out. He threw down the pen and he walked out. And it wasn't until years later we discovered what it was.
It was a cloaca.
Yeah. And what all the quacking coming from his office had been about.
But ducks have a penis, so do they have a vagina or do they have a cloaca?
I reckon it. I don't know. I don't know. We've got to look into this.
I wonder if there's any cloacas that are at the end of a penis. You know?
Yeah.
Like, is there any animals that poop out of a penis? Like a cloaca penis.
Yeah, I feel like some sort of seashells and stuff might do this. I feel like I've seen mussels and stuff poking out this little tube.
Yeah.
Out the side of the shell for various reasons. I don't know what they're doing with
but
it.
Is that, could but be is that. All, but do they also use that tube for
could
for,
be.
For lovemaking?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you happy with that or are you unhappy about that?
No, I'm happy about this.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Take us through the sketch ideas?
Yeah, take us through all the right. sketch
well,
ideas.
Well, we've got blood as a prisoner of the body.
Yes.
Yeah, great. That's why I was always trying
free
to escape.
Free blood.
Survival strategy, Freaky
this
Friday.
Could be a movement. People who are like free bloodists.
Free bloodists. They're,
the body is a prison.
The body is a prison for your blood and for your consciousness.
I'm sorry about the coughing.
It's okay. We got the survival strategy Freaky Friday between the rat and the tick.
Yeah.
So you catch all those rats and off the tea trees and after a bushwalk.
Yeah.
Come home.
How do we set up the Freaky Friday thing? Are they both struck by lightning or
lightning
something? Or do they make a wish?
Lightning storm.
Is it the hot chick and they both wear an earring?
Could be an earring. Mm. It could be the earrings from the hot chick movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
they throw them away.
Yeah, throw them away in the bin. And a
rat gets one of
rat
them.
Rat gets in the bin and a tick gets on it. Yeah. The other one is hooked in a tea tree.
Yeah.
Then they both reproduce and then they have families of their own. Mm. And they all have these different traits. Then we got a mouse in the heart. This is the guy who got cut by a sort of Jack Bauer type.
Yeah, and a mouse got in.
And he got real sad about his...
It's his terrorist plan going being on. Defeated.
Yeah. And then he goes to his
mom. Sank into a deep depression.
Yeah.
And stopped looking after himself.
Yeah, but he also didn't notice why after one of his main veins got cut, why it just stopped bleeding.
Now, people say drain the main vein as a way of a euphemism for going to the toilet.
Yeah.
Do you think you could also use it as a euphemism for killing yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the throat really feels like the main
of
the
veins. Oh, yeah, exactly. So I'm just going to go drain the main vein. Everyone thinks you're going to do a wee.
But the
joke's on them. You're stabbing yourself in the neck. They look like idiots.
It's the ultimate sewer as well.
Mm.
You know, the body sewer? The throat?
Yeah. The ultimate.
The ultimate one. Well, as in, I'm saying there's no bigger one, unless you consider the torso itself a sewer, but it's not, you know.
The mouth?
The mouth. But the mouth's no bigger than the throat, is it?
The mouth is definitely bigger than the throat.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
But look how thick the throat is.
Sure, but there's a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah?
Yeah, but like...
How much hole is there?
You talk a soft... Why do you think you have to chew things up?
Yeah, I know, but that's because that's one of the holes. But there's got to be a big air hole in there.
These are all separate pipes. That doesn't count as one big sewer.
It doesn't,
if all different
like, when
tubes.
You touch it, it doesn't feel full. There's a lot of free space in there. That's what I'm talking about. Is it as cavernous in there?
It's not cavernous, no.
What about when you do this?
When you stretch out your neck muscles like that, it becomes a chasm.
Like that. Anyway. The vice to whales is they get stuck in a rip. I think that's funny.
It's funny. I just can't put it. I can't in my mind put it in any kind of context, any sketch. Like we got whales talking to each other. Please.
Then we got the snot drop tattoo sketches where you the guy, the tattooist in prison keeps talking. He's got different drops on different parts of his body, and he goes into. What does that one mean?
The one under your ear, what does that mean?
And then we got the untold shady story of the on button. It's actually a cloaca. And the guy who invented it is a pervert. And that pervert is maybe just not Steve Jobs.
You know, he was an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
When he launched the iPhone, what did he say? It's a this, it's a that. But it's not. It's a that. It's a music device. It's a web browser, and it's a telephone. Yeah. But it's not three things. It's one thing. He's basically describing a cloaca.
I think we may have done this on the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Great. Well, then I'm glad I brought it up again.
No, I like it. I think
you were nodding
favorites.
Along with that, and I was like, "Oh, Al's really into this bit." And he's like, "Oh no, he's just heard it all before."
Well, either that, or we've talked about it outside of here when we were talking about. Cloacas in our regular life.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you especially much to everybody who supports us on Patreon. That is wonderful. Thank you to everyone who's been reviewing the show on iTunes. That's also great for us.
Here's
the thing that I've done recently. I went on a podcast called A Conversation With. I'm with a bloke called Jason, and he interviewed me about writing comedy for television. Matt Stewart from Do Go On podcast is also on an upcoming episode. I don't know when mine's coming out, but I'll try and put a link to that podcast in the show notes. A conversation with. It was a very fun conversation. I start out a bit rusty because we're doing it over Skype, and I find it difficult to interact if I can't see the person's face.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, I really get into it, and I lay it all out, Alistair.
And also a big thank you to Brian Colella.
Yes.
For starting this Two in the Think Tank Quotes Twitter account.
Yeah, you can follow that. Some pretty funny stuff has been going out there.
Yeah, and I can't believe that he's... And a lot of guys have been putting forward suggestions for that. And, I mean, it's just a bit of silliness if people like to do that.
Yeah, we look insane.
Yeah, and you know what? Thank you very much for who you are.
Yes.
And
our podcast, our Twitter. You can find me, Stupid Old Andy.
I'm at Alistair TB.
We are at Two in Tank, and we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.